I've gone through the book how many times, and on the site during Zoom, I couldn't record because I couldn't figure out how to do the Zoom and record. And the first Zoom meeting should have been on CNN or something. It was a YouTube video, and we would have had a million people at our meetings. But I want to go through, I do things a little differently for a while, if it's okay. I've written some thoughts on recovery, and then I'm going to use that and the big book instead of just going through the big book line by line for a little while. Is that okay? You'll see. I wrote these thoughts on recovery for those on the listening on the podcast around the world and the country. It's thoughts number 74 to 77. Those are the last four thoughts I wrote, and it covers this graph, this chart, the world of alcoholism that you can find under resources to recovery. And I drew this page one day when I was working with a sponsee a few years ago. I haven't seen him after I did this, but it helped me. Stu was there, I believe. And I wrote out the world of my alcoholism, my world where I play God. Then the Arch to Freedom, where I do steps 4 through 9. I enter the real world where God is the center and includes Him and everything connected to God. And that's the world of the Spirit. And basically, this is conscious separation to conscious contact. Anybody remember that from Chuck C? We have one problem, conscious separation, one solution, conscious contact. And how do we go there? And Linda said it well, you know, we do it every day. And how do we get out of ourselves? And the initial, you can look at this initially when you first come into AA, and then you can look at this every day, because this is the deal. So I'm going to label these series of talks conscious contact or conscious separation, recovery from alcoholism. And so I wrote a few thoughts on this chart. We can use that to discuss various aspects of this. And I call this the game plan for living, the blueprint for a spiritual life. How do we do this? What's the purpose of coming to AA? Purpose of AA is to have a life of peace and joy and service to others, right? And how do we do that? And when we come here, all we know is, at least usually most of the time, our life is a mess. And that our life is a mess, and we're not sure how we got here, but it is a mess. And alcohol or drugs or whatever had a lot to do with it, but we find out quickly that we were the trouble, we were the problem. So focuses on the chart I made to help see how people recover from alcoholism. You may want to get this chart and use it with your sponsees, maybe the first time you meet with them, just showing them what is the game plan, what you're trying to do. And Chuck C, you know, in that new pair of glasses, you can listen to that on Stories of Recovery or XA Speakers. It's from a talk, a men's retreat in 1977 that they recorded. He was Richard Chamberlain's dad. He was a really brilliant man. His book is great. You can get it on Amazon. I suggest you read it. It's full of spiritual information, and he knew the Bible, very, very, very fine man. And he said there's only one problem, conscious separation from God, and only one solution, conscious contact. And when I'm separated from God, I'm not in reality. I'm in a world that I created. Now, it could be on your way home today, you could be driving, and you could be all pissy about the person in front of you. Well, that's not the world God is. God says, you know, just drive your car, Michael, and don't worry about them. Or you could be I like to talk about going to Walgreens and being in front and behind the person with all the coupons, and they don't know that I'm Michael the Magnificent, and they should get out of my way. And now I say, well, I'm glad they have coupons, they need them. And it's how you see the world. And when you're separated from God, you see it wrong. Remember Dr. Paul at Alcoholic Addict, he said, when he saw all the things wrong with his wife, she got worse. And when he started to see the good qualities, they grew. And the good qualities were always there. He just saw the bad. And he talks about your serenity is inversely proportional to your expectations. What do you expect? What do you expect? How do you expect people to be? And are you expecting it as, are they serving me or am I serving God? And so that's the whole deal. But how do we do that? Now, when I'm separated from God, there's a problem because I don't feel good, and I'm going to talk about that. And then if you're an alcoholic, guess what? You seek the ease and comfort of alcohol. So we need to seek the ease and comfort of God. I think God works better than alcohol. Anybody agree with that? If you don't, keep drinking. See how it works for you. And then when you're in conscious contact, I live in the truth with God as my director guiding my thinking. And you know, if I do that, my actions will be better. And Linda read about how we retire at night and how we inventory. And when we look at our day, were we selfish, dishonest, or self-afraid? Well, we're with God. We may be that way a little bit, but at once we ask God to change us, right? And so we don't stay there. And it says, were we kind and loving to all? Well, of course not. But were we kind and loving to maybe 90% today instead of 50 yesterday? And it's just progress. And so I realized I lived my whole life in a world I created. I don't know how old I was. I'm trying to think of my earliest memories. I can remember watching Saturday morning Lone Ranger. I must have been 3 or 4. I remember that. I don't know if I had alcoholism then, but I think I had it when I was about 5 or 6 because I worried about how I looked when I went to kindergarten and mother was going to go back to teaching school, and I was very insecure, and I had to come home to grandma, and she didn't like me. And at least I remember that. Who knows? She probably did. But I was worried about how I could get approval. I think it started about 3rd or 4th grade. And so the world became my higher power. And I wanted approval from others so that I could feel good. And we went to synagogue and we had God and he was behind some curtain. And all I knew is that we were in big trouble because he wasn't really very nice. That's what I remember from reading the Old Testament. It's kind of scary, you know. Am I going to go up in flames today? And then on Yom Kippur, they would have the thing open for an hour and he would put me in the book of life or death. Well, that's kind of scary for an 8-year-old. And anyway, so my whole life I lived in this world I created. I decided when I was 9 or 10 that my mother loved Dr. Kildare, which was Richard Chamberlain's son, and Ben Casey. Everybody loved them. And I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, and we were poor. Believe it or not, there are poor Jewish people. And we were middle class. I mean, we were fine. I wasn't on the street or anything. But if I became the Jewish doctor, I would be somebody. So I decided when I was 9, I had to become a doctor. Because my uncle was a doctor, and he was a great man. He landed on D-Day, I told Mark, 8 hours after the first landing, he was operating and sewing up. And he lived in New York. And when he came, it was like Jesus coming. I mean, we were Jewish, but it was still like Jesus coming. And he was a great man. And I said, well, I could be the doctor someday. And when I come, everybody will look at me. I mean, it wasn't a bad goal, but it was to make me feel good. I wanted to feel that hole inside. And so that was my goal. And so I wrote, my whole life I lived in this world I created, where if I became the doctor, I'd be okay. If I had good grades, I'd be okay. If I did this, I'd be okay. I was very insecure. I had low self-esteem, and then I developed excessive pride to defend my self-esteem. Anybody do that? And it's a world where I was the center of the universe. And in my mind, I consciously separated from the real world where God is the center, includes the rest of the world. Now, why did I do that? Why would I be so crazy? Well, on page 61, when I read that, every time I read it, I read it today, yesterday with someone, it says, was I not the victim of the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction, happiness in this world if I only managed well? Anybody relate to that? Victim. I was the victim. It killed me, this delusion, which is a false sense of reality. It's not even real. That if I could just manage well, I'd feel good. Now that's scary, because once you have that delusion, it depended on my management. And it's a very lonely world I wrote, and it never worked. And why? Because I was the manager, not God. And I had a script, and people wouldn't play it. Anybody else have that problem? And then I would get upset. Or I used people to feel good in relationships. I can't tell you how sick that was. And I manipulated to get my way. But I wasn't a terrible person. I was just an alcoholic. Anybody relate to that? I mean, we're not monsters, but we certainly drive people crazy. And you can never be happy. And so my thinking and my actions were driven by me, and I was an example of self-will run riot. Now, what did I say yesterday? It was something brilliant at lunch. I can't remember. But everybody is self-will in our country. And it is run riot in a lot of people. But if I run riot in self-will, what happens? Alcohol, drugs, food, things fill that need. They relieve the spiritual illness. Because when I'm in self-will run riot, I'm restless, irritable, discontented. You see here? And then I'm angry all the time. Anybody get angry before you come in here? Anybody angry this morning? Any fear? We get fear when we're living in our world. Why? Because we won't get what we want. And remember, we have to write everywhere, what I want doesn't matter. Now, people don't like it when I do the second step proposition exercise and I tell them to write it everywhere, but it's true. What I want doesn't matter. And then I had shame and guilt because I did bad things. I manipulated people. But I don't know about you, but before I came in AA, I could justify my actions. Anybody else do that? And I didn't feel real shame and guilt till I did my fourth step, you know, and then I could see the truth. And I could still see it today. If you want to relive your past, get old like me and be retired. And then you'll think about when you were 25, why'd you do that, or 30, not all the time, but you know. Anybody do harmful actions to people? Yeah, and we hurt them. And so that wasn't a good world. And guess what? That got me a wristband. And that was my game plan for living. And Sandy Beach says, we don't care about your game plan because you got a wristband. We don't ask the new guy, well, what's your plan? Well, we do. Sometimes I ask him, and it's pretty funny. I mean, it makes sense to them, but they don't understand what their problem is in the beginning. And so it never worked. Why? Because I was the manager, my God. I was self-will run riot. The problems I had were of my own making. Now, Joe and Charlie says that's the best promise in the big book, because if I was the one that created my problems, then they can be changed if I change. And it's not them, it was me. And that's what Linda was talking about, that inventory each day. We look at ourselves. We don't look at them in that inventory on 86, right? They're not in there, it's us. Were we kind and loving to all? How did we treat people? And they arose out of living in a world I created separating from God. And when I look back, I could see I made the decisions no one else that caused me harm. And guess what? I harmed people I loved. And I harmed people I didn't even know really well, but I harmed them in ways. But I really harmed myself, and I harmed my kids and people I was in relations with. So if I separate from God, my life will never work. Anybody agree with that? It says on page 60, a life run on self will never be successful. Why? Because you're going to be in conflict with everybody and everything. And you're the actor arranging the ballet, the scenery, the things. And I'll ask people, what's wrong with that? They have to just, you know, it's like asking nuclear physics. And because I'm not the director. Took me a while, right? You read it, it sounds great. Well, that's so ridiculous. Look at this person, the actor. But what about me? And it was what I did. So how does this relate to my alcoholism? When I live in my world, I'm irritable, restless, and discontented. What does irritable mean? It just, you know, I'm just irritated. People are bothered. Now, I've met people come to AA who've never get angry. I mean, seriously, Stu and I have heard them. But alcoholics are always irritable. And we're restless. We're restless. We're just discontented. We're never satisfied with it. Even if we get everything we want, it only the satisfaction lasts an hour, a day, or a month. You know, I got my MD degree. I graduated with high honors. I'm at the luncheon. I felt really good for about 4 hours. And then mother comes up to me and she goes, you know, you were as smart as Lee Simon. You could have been number one. There you go. Now that I've done my four step, mother was just mother. It had to do with her. It had nothing to do with me. But and then my father came up to me and he said, do you want to thank me? I said, sure. Thank you, because I couldn't have done this without him. And I thanked him, but you see where it was. And then I went to one of the best internships in the United States. It was very hard to get into for medicine, University of Chicago. And I thought, see, I was crazy. I thought everybody in the world would think I was great because I was there, but nobody gave a shit. And it was August, and it was 10:30 at night. I was down on the ward, and I was getting my third admission. And in those days, it's 1976, the interns did everything. We started the blood, blah, 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 blah. You don't want to hear it. And I said, oh my God, I've got 10 more months of this. Every third night, up all night, every weekend, 120 hours a week. Holy crap. Then, in January, when I had to go out and start my car, when I was on call every night at 11 o'clock at night, if not, it would be dead the next day at 5 because it was the coldest winter they ever had. I said, holy crap, who cares? And then I had to live on the north side because it was cooler, and I could have lived on the south side and just lived right there and walked to the hospital, you understand? So I could see my problems were of my own making, and they arose out of this. And you know what? Nobody gave a shit. Now, I got very good training. It was great. But you see, I did my motives. I thought I would feel good. And it worked out. But you see how we make decisions? I could have stayed in Baltimore. Who knows what would have happened. But I wouldn't have been here today. See, I look back now in my life, and God put everything where it was exactly supposed to be, just like Dr. Paul says, so I could be here today. I really believe that. I wouldn't have found the Lord. I wouldn't be studying the book of Luke tomorrow night. I wouldn't have met Mark, all these people in the room. So I'm irritable, restless. Irritable means things and people and events are always bothering me because it's not going Michael's way. Anybody have that? Anybody an alcoholic in the room? Is everybody an alcoholic? It's going to happen today. Something's going to bother you. It may not last very long, but something. Restless because I don't have any peace and serenity. I'm not okay. Now, I could be okay for short pieces of time. You know what I mean? Wow, I really feel good. And then alcohol or drugs would do that, or sex or manipulation or eating disorders. We have a lot of people who listen to the site who have eating disorders, and the same thing. And when do we get peace and serenity? On page 84, when we're in the world of the Spirit, when I'm with God. when do I get discontented because I only content when I get what I want from people and they follow my script. And I don't know you, but I had a lot of conflicts with people. And a lot of it was just in my mind. I knew they didn't like me. So I didn't like them. I knew it. They didn't say anything. Anybody else do that? Am I the only crazy person in the United States? But I was in conflict, and I made decisions based on self. And so a life run on self will never work. Also, nothing was ever my fault. Do you understand? I blame them. And then I always say this, I need to fire myself. I need to fire myself every day. When I'm disturbed, I need to fire Michael. Fire yourself. A life run on self will is manifested by wrong thoughts and actions. And on page 64, these are called wrongs. In my alcoholic world, I manifested wrong judgment, which was called resentment. Anybody do that? Wrong beliefs, which are self-centered fears. They don't exist. I'm sitting in my chair and I've got a fear. It doesn't even exist. Anybody an alcoholic in here? It's going to happen today. It may not happen long. Everybody's going to have a little fear or some craziness come in your head. And then wrong actions which cause harm to others and produce shame and guilt. Now, how does this relate to alcohol? I seek the ease and comfort from alcohol to relieve me from the pain of living separated from God. Alcohol was the solution of how I felt living from God. Now, if you read the promises like Joe and Charlie do and read them, that this was the effect alcohol produced. Alcohol gave me peace and serenity. Alcohol relieved me of fear of people. Alcohol gave me a sense of worth, a sense of being. Alcohol could do for me what I could not do for myself. Think how powerful it becomes. So you know when you're restless, irritable, discontent, your mind says, you need a drink, that'll fix this. And remember, if you're an alcoholic, your mind tells you you need a drink, you can't say no to it. Anybody think you can say no to it on your own? No. The only reason we're all sober today is because of God, like Linda said and Jackie said. It's all because of God. We've allowed this power to turn that off. Bill W. was in the lobby of the Mayfair Hotel. Business deal went bad. May 1935. He heard the gay crowd in there. He's going to go in. He's going to get a ginger ale, right? And then immediately he says, three drinks, no more. And then he shivered. Fear shook him. God said, Bill, bad idea, and we're here today. Think about that. Now, why did he know that? Because he had worked for 6 months trying to help people, couldn't get anybody sober, but he helped himself. And he was really dependent on God, and God was there for him. So I couldn't live sober. That's the problem people don't understand. Alcoholism is a disease when you're sober. When you drink, bad things happen. Well, of course, because we can't control how much we drink. But if we don't take the first drink, we're okay. And we can't take the first drink because we can't live sober and not drink. And why can't we live sober and be content? Because we're running the show and we're separated from God. My mind learned that this was the effect of alcohol and would seek it whenever things didn't go my way. Now, I was an alcoholic, and I have an allergy to alcohol manifested by the phenomenon of craving. And I had that when I was 13 at Passover, and I drank Manischewitz wine. And then I went downstairs, and I said, well, I'm going to go up and get another glass. And then I had another glass, you know, because I could go. They were all in the other room, you know. It felt really good. I said, what is it? And I didn't understand. I had a phenomenon of craving. I had a beer for the first time. You know, I was a sheltered Jewish kid from Baltimore. When I went to Duke, I was 17, and I wasn't even 18 when I went to college, and we went to the beer place, and we had pitchers of beer, and I drank my first beer, and I said, this stuff is terrible. I mean, this stuff tastes terrible. I'll have another one. You see, I didn't understand that. So I drank three, four, or five, and I felt great. So then the next weekend, we had a beer keg coming, because you know, there were less girls than men at Duke, so we would ship in the babes from the local college 30 miles away, and we would pay for a busload to come in. It's not bad, it's just the way it was. And I knew they had a keg, and I was really looking forward to that. And I enjoyed it so much that I was throwing up at 2 a.m. Anybody relate to that? And then I said, wow, we're going to have a keg next week. You see? And oh, there you go. Alcoholic from the first Manischewitz wine. You've never heard that before. So I wrote it. The real problem, my mind learned that this was the effect of alcohol. I would seek it when things go my way. I had craving. Once it entered my system, I had no control over the amount I drank. And this can never be treated. You can't change your body, can you? So the real problem centers in my mind, sober. And Mickey B says, son of a bitch, everything's real. You have to deal with your emotions. Remember we talked about the disease concept of alcoholism and the thermometer that every alcoholic has. And when your emotions build up to a certain level, we drink. Now it could be different for different people. People can go years, but it builds up. And then your mind says, get a drink. So an alcoholic sober living without God will never have a defense against the first drink. Why? He will never be able to live without being irritable, restless, and discontented. I was in constant fear, you know, towards the end. I was disturbed a lot, and I took actions to harm myself and others. My mind was will constantly be seeking alcohol, drugs, sex, manipulations, whatever, to treat this. Well, you can put anything else we're powerless over, whatever you use to treat your separation from God. We used to have the addicts, alcoholics fight 20 years ago. Linda remembers that. But, you know, it's the doctor's opinion says we suffer from what? Alcoholic addiction. We're addicted to alcohol. And Al-Anons are addicted to fixing the alcoholics and managing the world. And that's really sick. And most alcoholics are codependent too. And it says, don't worry, I'll shut up soon. The problem for me is I have consequences from alcohol or whatever you're doing. It stops working. Do you remember when it stopped working? But you would still seek it. You would seek these and cover, but it took a long time to come. Or it lasted a short while and then you drank through it, right? And as long as I'm separated from God in my world, I have no power against the first drink. None, never. And willpower is self-knowledge. Does it work? No. And treatment today is willpower, is self-knowledge, is analysis, which I don't know is good or bad. But the only power that'll save me is knowledge of God, a spiritual awakening, trust in God, true faith. And I love the quote, Mark Houston, the only choice I make today is to seek the power that gives me choice. First time I heard that, I had to listen again, because you know I'm not that smart. I said, this sounds, it's true. The only choice I have today is I choose the power that gives me power. And it says in the big book, God is everything or nothing. What is our choice to be? And that's the choice I make all day. Sandy Beach says it's the only choice you make. Are you having God everything or nothing? And somebody will tell me, I don't like your meeting. You talk about God too much. I said, have a party. You know, how's that working for you? Fine. I mean, that's fine. Whatever, you know. But for me, my relationship with God today is the most important fact in my life, like it says on page 25. And I wrote, I will never have an effective drink. And it says on page 24, and Brian likes that, at certain times, right, Brian? And alcoholics will say, well, I know when that certain time's coming. Well, there you go. You're dead if you think that. Because I cannot recall into consciousness the humiliation, defeat of even a moment ago. I have no defense against drinking. Fear won't work because fear only works for a while. I cannot recover from alcoholism, I wrote, continue to live in my self-centered world. Recovery from alcoholism begins when I see that I cannot live this way anymore. That's why I talked about the complete surrender. The complete defeat is when you realize the world you're in, you can't fix it. I can't do it. I need help. I need God. And I was surrendered. This world surrendered me. And I was surrendered. I didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to surrender today. It all caved in and I just said, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And once I said that, I felt better. I can't explain it. And then I'm here today. God put people in my life. And I said, God, please help me. There's no hope for me. And I was humiliated. I was humbled. that I knew I couldn't do it. And I was a pretty self-sufficient guy, and I'd done a lot of good things, but I couldn't fix my life. I couldn't keep from drinking, I couldn't fix my life. And I became completely defeated. And the moment when I faced the truth that I have a hopeless and futile condition, remember, this is a book for people who have a hopeless and futile condition, seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. I can't fix it. And I said, God, help me. And that was the beginning of recovery. And that's where I want to end today. And that's the beginning of moving out of this world. And then next week, we'll look at how we move out of the world into the arch of freedom and then into the world of the spirit. Was this helpful at all? So, all right.